Hello.
Witam.
Which is this one?
I think Polish.
Are you going to do a new one every week?
Sometimes. When I'm on it.
Well, good effort. So, we missed a week.
Sorry.
Yeah. Just the way it goes. I had a plan to do a few other things to fill the gap, but as my bike review fared so poorly, I'm not doing any more of those on the podcast. I was going to fill it with another bike review, but I'm not doing that again.
Well, never say never, but not two in a row.
Highly unlikely, so.
I don't know about that, mister. But we had a busy week. We had a lot of dates and anniversaries and dates and anniversaries. So it was pretty action-packed. And the weather was not in our favor again. So we do apologize for our absence, dear listeners.
For 1 week.
Yes.
So we went to a new spot for us, not a new spot in general, to a place called Queenston. Not the Queenstown, as I was corrected on today by somebody I was chatting to about it at work. It's Queenston, as in Queen, as in the Queen, and then Stun, S-T-O-N.
Yes, there's no W.
No W. So maybe there was at some point and somebody missed it out, but not sure. So this is a place that I'd been told about and ignored for the last year, probably.
That long?
Yeah, probably.
Holy smokes, that's very unlike you.
It's very, very close to the border, so it's...
So much so that you thought you were going to accidentally go over.
So it's the last junction on whatever the road is that goes to the US. So for this kid with all kinds of issues around immigration and going through that process, going over the border is not really something I wanted to do, so it was a little bit squeaky and I was on my own thinking, oh dear, I wonder if there's a way of turning around and coming back.
I don't blame you for panicking a little bit, and it is a little bit of a tricky bit to get across the highway, at least from the direction that we came, so look out. But yeah, I don't blame you for having a little mini panic.
No, it was more nerve-wracking than I would have liked. So, yes. And on the subject of where to park, I will put information in the description, as I often do. But there is a road called Portage Road. And there are two parking spots off the side of Portage Road. And then there's a main car park at the bottom with toilets and picnic benches. The main car park requires you to pay. The two little side car parks don't. Portage Road, you'll see often, or the three times I've been now, there's always been cars in the parking spots and often cars with bike racks, which is a pretty good indication that it's a mountain bike area. So what did you think then?
Hold on, both times that I went, there were no cars with no bike racks.
That's true.
Just ginormous dogs.
Well, once there was ginormous dogs.
Yeah, but there was two of them. I guess one wasn't even that ginormous, but one was the size of a dinosaur. Rest in peace, Dylan.
And he had a big head.
He had a huge head.
And you got slobbered.
Oh, in the hair, like it whipped up. And it hit me in the head and was, yeah.
At least it didn't get you in the face.
I almost would have rathered it in the face than in the hair. I don't know.
To then go riding with it squelched in your head.
The man was very nice, though. He gave me a paper towel.
I think he's used to it.
Yep.
This is the Bruce Trail, but for whatever reason, this particular part of the Bruce Trail is... Bikes are allowed. Like, it would appear that both the main Bruce and the side Bruce, on Trail Forks certainly, and by the general number of bikes I saw the first time I went, not this time, it's just accepted that you can ride on those parts. And then there's some mountain bike specific trails as well, which we can talk about in a minute. But the main blue trail, which is the Bruce Side Trail, is fine to ride on, and I would say was a good warm-up, you thought, didn't you?
I did.
So out of the little pull-in and then up to the main car park, and then you come back along the main Bruce following those white flashes. And you're quite close to the edge of the escarpment there, aren't you? So what did you think of the... Or what was your initial thoughts as we came out of the car park and turned right on the trail?
Well, my initial thoughts... good question, because I was thinking... As there is a kitty cat creepy crawling all over top of everything, I was thinking, what was Jamie raving on about this place for? It's like a little bit of a snooze fest out of the gates and not necessarily very impressive at all. However, that being said, I hadn't ridden in a couple of weeks, so I really did appreciate the long warm-up and sort of that, for lack of a better way to put it, but sort of boringness. Nothing too spectacular or remarkable, straight out of the car park.
No,
But it did make me wonder, why were you raving so much about it? However... Then, let's fast forward for a second, to the end of the ride. Oh my! Caves and rocks and moss and mud, tree forts and teepees and an amphitheater, onions and ramps and daffodils, and waterfall and ice cream.
Yeah, I guess that was that, really.
So, I now understand why you loved this place so much, and I do too.
Just on the riding side of it, I think... If you live locally, then I reckon a weekday evening or early morning or a Sunday afternoon would be a good option. I mean, I don't really know, but I do feel it's a big walking touristy area. I think if it was a warm summer Saturday afternoon, it might be a little bit busy. I might be wrong, but I feel could be.
It's a good question, and I'd actually like to look at the map to see. That must be, it's got to be close to the very end or the very beginning of the Bruce Trail. If you're right at the border there, like literally you can pretty much see it. I would be curious to know. So my point being about the busyness, though, is that if it's so kind of far tucked away, maybe it doesn't get quite as busy because it's really kind of sort of, I felt like we were in the middle of nowhere, but you're right. It could get quite busy.
Yeah. I wonder if people that are kind of waiting to go across the border, maybe park in that car park and go for a bit of a wander.
Well, we're going to find out because I think this is going to be a visited frequently place for us.
Yeah, I think so. I think it, yeah, for sure. I'm just looking at that trail now. I think you're right. I think that's where the Bruce Trail Southern Terminus Cairn... So Bruce Trail Southern Terminus Cairn is where it starts, I think.
There you have it.
So
the very beginning or end, depending on which way you're going.
And that's the parking lot where there's toilets and you can pay for parking and there's picnic benches and stuff.
Well, howdy doody.
As we just said, there's a blue trail, which, as Jessica explained, is a bit mellow, but it's a pretty good warm-up. So for us, out the car park, turn right along the blue trail, through the woods to the car park. And then just follow the blue signs, and then you pick up the main Bruce Trail, which puts you right on the side of the escarpment. And then you just follow that. You probably do need trail forks, although you could equally do it without, if you just follow the trails that go off to the left and the right, basically.
And actually, I know that you had been there a couple of times prior to me joining you, but it was such a treat that I didn't see you, you know, having to pull out the map and the trail forks every 2 minutes, because it's not that confusing. And I'm not saying, oh, it's a piece of cake on your first time, but I think it is well marked and pretty easy to get your head around after a time or two.
Yeah, apart from the black run, which you'll know you're on, which is called Big Dipper, you'd know you're on it because there's two massive drops, one off of a root and one off of a rock slab.
Big Dipper, not to be confused with Till Dipper. That one's for you, Davies.
There's a black, but the blue is just a series of loops with some little cross trails. So on Trail Forks, there's basically the cave trail, which goes round past the caves, which Jessica can talk about in a second. There's a lot of side trails on that blue trail, so when you're on it, there's a lot more to it, that area, than is actually on Trail Forks. Trail Forks just to get you out of trouble if you get lost, but actually the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to go all the way to the bottom and end up at the road and have to walk back up the hill. Or you'll go to the furthest end where there's this really cool whoop-y area with, I don't even know what it is. I guess it's an old quarry and somebody's basically built trails, or a trail that goes up and down. So it's not quite steep enough to jump, but you definitely get your stomach goes up and down, doesn't it?
It does.
When you go up and down the...
Yeah. Whoop-de-woos!
And if you're kind of new to this, or if you're not used to riding in exposed places and you're planning on going to ride in some exposed places, I would say it's a pretty good toe in the water. Actually, it could be a toe in the water if you go on the left side, because you'd end up in that pond. But it would be a good place to practice some of that, what that feels like to bottom out and go back up again the other side, and practice pumping and a few other things, I would say. So.
Yeah, I find you just kind of have to commit.
Yeah.
And, well, that's about it. Put your seat down and go for it.
And the other thing as well was there was some wet spots, but considering all the rain we had and then we went out, it was...
almost dry as a bone.
Pretty dry, yeah.
Few little mucky patches near the beginning or end, but otherwise it was superb conditions.
I would say so. And there's some cool stuff on there, so when I went on my own, I spotted a little area that I thought you might like.
What?
The cave spot.
Oh, that spot. That is very cool. We did some hanging out there.
Yeah, there's some nice rocks to sit on.
You kind of pop out. I mean, I wonder what they're doing there. But you pop out, it's almost like you feel like you're in the desert or something.
It's a quarry, isn't it? It's the edge of a quarry. I think the border, Bruce Park or whatever it is border is literally that road that goes up, and eventually that road goes back to the car park.
That little stone one?
Yeah, so if you find yourself at the caves on Trail Forks.
In the desert.
In the desert, and you'll know where that is if you have listened to this. There is a fire road, not that there's any trees on the other side, but there's a fire road that goes all the way back to where the cars are parked, basically.
Right.
It will take you back to where you needed to go should you need to get back quicker or be lost. So,
well, that's how you find the caves, though, because I don't know if you hadn't read about them or didn't know about them, you could easily pass them.
You could, yeah.
There's some great big, beautiful rocks to sit and hang out on. I would totally recommend packing a picnic for that spot. I mean, there's plenty of great spots for stopping for a little picnic or just having a sit and a think.
Yeah, I think if it was, you know, first time, go as far as you can go on the Bruce Trail until you come to two houses and a like weird step down thing, and there's a tree fort and there's these whoops we talked about. And then if you come back on the right-hand trail, as in facing back to where you came from, so facing back to where your car is parked, take the right-hand trails. And then that brings you down through some woods on some quite twisty, interesting tracks that aren't on Trail Forks that will land you by those caves, basically.
And there's a skunk that lives in there,
there
too.
There is.
You might get to spot Pepe.
You'll probably smell him.
If nothing else. You've seen him twice
now. Yeah, I've seen him twice.
His little tail scurrying away.
And then there's a couple of steep, really uphills. You might get up one, you probably won't get up the two. But in between the top, the first and the second, is a left turn. If you take that and just keep turning left, you end up going through a house. We did that little trail, which you quite liked, didn't you?
There was so much that I liked.
You go through the building and then we saw the periwinkle. And
Right.
And some mushrooms.
Oh, yes, we did. We spotted our first sort of springtime mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
The old mica caps.
Which are not edible, but if you mix them with what?
Oh, was it oil or something?
Sage or something?
Can't remember. Something to make ink?
Yeah, you can boil them and mix them with something and then you can make ink. So if there's a shortage of ink out there, you know what to do. That was our first mushroom. We did find a few other things, though, worth collecting and mentioning, I think.
Well, we did. Everything is early. I'm sure other people have noticed. There are plenty of spring onions and ramps up for the collecting already.
Yeah.
Which is a good 2 weeks earlier than our first sightings last year. Not to say everyone else's, but we collected quite a few heaps of each of those, and in fact just have the dehydrator running right now. You can only imagine what our garage smells like.
As if our helmets and knee pads didn't smell bad enough. Now they're going to smell of old sweat and garlic, so excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, just what I need to go for a job interview or something, I think.
Yikes. On a nicer smelling note, though, we did collect some daffodils, and in fact, we even dug up a few bulbs to plant in our new garden. And can I just say, we have to keep our flowers in the bathroom because of the feline friends here. And my goodness, it's been several days now and they smell so darn good.
Also, just to say, we know it's illegal to dig up wildflowers, but they were, there was a load of garden waste dumped in bags, by the parking lot. So they were just dumped and they'd sprouted. So we were rescuing them. They weren't growing in a big wild patch. So I think just be a bit smart about it. Don't dig up wildflowers willy-nilly, but I think trimming a few daffodil flowers is probably fine. But yeah, these were just dumped as garden waste. So
what Jamie said. Precisely.
Sid's joined. That's what the diesel engine noise is in the background. Yeah, so the caves, did you want to talk a bit more about those? You did like those, didn't you? You kind of investigated a little bit.
Well, I don't know how much more I have to say about them other than that I really appreciated taking some quiet time. We were fortunate enough that the first time we rolled up, there was a couple of people just leaving, and the other time that we visited, there was no one there. So we had the caves to ourselves completely. In fact, I even had them to myself completely. You hung out on the rocks.
I'm not big on caves.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty darn cool. I mean, how much you could feel the temperature change and like just how cool it was, how clear the water was and how quiet it was. And, you know, just hearing a few every now and again, a drip of water drip way back, like you could see quite a ways back. And I just enjoyed the peace and quiet.
So we have a gallery on our website, which I don't know how many people look at it, but I will, in the next few days, upload some of the pictures Jessica took of the caves, like with a flash or whatever, so you can have a look at them. I won't use them as a thumbnail because they're probably not going to come across very well, but I will definitely put them in the gallery part of our website for future reference. I don't know if I have much else to say about this place, to be honest, from a kind of riding point of view, because it's not very big, even though you could spend half a day there easy enough.
Yeah, it's true. This is the kind of ride that I absolutely love. And again, I had mentioned I hadn't ridden in, I think, 2 weeks with a weekend off makes it 2 weeks. So for me, I just needed to kind of ease back in. And that sort of exploratory adventure type ride, I just love it. I love I know Jamie doesn't always love, and sometimes I don't either. You got to be in the mood for the, you know, ride for a bit, get off or get on, look around. Like, there, just for me, there was lots to explore and lots to look at. And maybe it's also just that time of year, and also the fact that there's no bugs attacking us. So, yeah, maybe that's part of the reason why I enjoyed the exploratory part so much, because it's just such a nice temperature and the sun was out. Like, it's a perfect day for that type of ride.
I mean, I do think, you know, it was just over 7 miles we did, which is, you know, 7 miles is not a huge amount, but it's not nothing on a mountain bike when it's up, down, up, down, up, down. And it, you know, it flowed well enough, but it was definitely more... There's more to it than I think we realized.
There's quite a few little features and things to practice in there too. Some bridges and...
And that's what I was kind of going to say, is if one of you wants to go off and just look for stuff and somebody wants to get a bit of riding in, there is plenty of spots where you could do both within, like, sight of each other. So you could, you know, you can look, go and look for things in the undergrowth, and then... right next to you is some interesting riding. Like, it does work quite well from that point of view. You're not in separate parts of the woodland if you want to go and look for stuff.
Absolutely. Or if somebody, yeah, wants to go and blast around and do another lap, I could just hang out at the caves. and sunbathe on the rocks.
Yeah. And considering it's right next to two roads, like... Once you get in there, it's quite quiet.
Quite peaceful.
There's a few old industrial buildings in there as well, which one of which I'll use for the thumbnail, some kind of crane thing.
Ah, cool.
Which was interesting enough. So, yeah, I don't have much else to say. I think it's definitely worth a visit.
I have one last thing to maybe send everyone off with, and it's not... an edible. It is not edible. So I played a trick on myself, and we found something that I was ever so excited about, and I had it confused with something else. But in the end, I learned a little bit more about this plant, so I'm going to share that.
Okay, go for it.
So this was bloodroot that we were spotting quite a bit of. And they are a perennial herbaceous flowering plant, and they have one single white flower. And I do believe that the name bloodroot comes from their red sap. And I just thought that a few of the uses of the red sap were quite cool and interesting. So you can use it as a natural dye. You could stain wood with it.
Wow.
And check this one out, which maybe we ought to collect some to try. It is supposed to be a fantastic bug repellent.
Right.
However, I will warn everyone to definitely test a small patch on your skin first before smothering it all over your body.
So I was just going to say about the bug thing is, I do wonder if... being up there is a good idea when it is bug city, because it's probably windy because it's high up and it's got that constant breeze coming off of Lake Ontario because it's high up and you're on the escarpment.
True. Still kind of hard to feel it in the thick trees though.
Maybe, but I know mosquitoes do not like any breeze, so I just wonder.
Or just higher up might be good too.
So that, we don't know yet, but we'll give that a try. And the other thing I was going to just quickly say is, we did have an ice cream stop.
Oh, yeah. Holy smokes. And it was fantastic.
So we did have to go into Niagara, though.
But a kind of a cool old school part. Like, not the crazy touristy, not that part.
Not the Las Vegas part.
That's what I'm talking about.
More the kind of nicer.
Nicer old, I don't know. So it was called Italian Ice Cream.
Is that what it was called in the
end? That's what it was called. And it was all gelato, and they had some red chairs out front.
They did have red chairs out front.
What road was it on? I'm looking at the picture saying...
Hoping for...
And it has red chairs.
That is what it's called, Italian ice cream, Niagara Falls. So the address is 5458 Victoria Avenue, Niagara Falls.
Well, I thought it was pretty darn good. They had, you know what we could mention? They had a small little tiny parking lot in the back.
Yeah.
So skinny little kind of laneway to drive round, but there are a few parking spots. Then you go in and there's probably about 15, maybe 20 flavors.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they had a few off the beaten path flavors, such as a rose peach, which I believe was like a rosé wine,
yeah,
and peach, which I'm hoping was like their local Niagara peaches. And they also had a goat cheese cinnamon, which I did have. I was a bit disappointed. Not enough goat. It's kind of like a really nice vanilla with a pinch of cinnamon.
Yeah.
Not enough goat cheese, but or goat milk. And what other flavor? Oh, and then I had classic banana, which was 10 out of 10. Good. Yeah. What'd you have?
I had coffee and raspberry, I think.
You did.
And the raspberry was excellent. Yeah. The coffee was pretty good, but
I actually was going to say that the coffee was excellent.
Yeah,
and the raspberry was pretty good. I fancied
the raspberry, so.
Did you know? Yeah. Good combo, too.
But, yeah, it's, take your life into your own hands, going to Niagara Falls, I think, on a busy day. But
yeah,
we did all right.
It was a really beautiful day, though, on a Saturday afternoon, and it was not horrendous.
No, we were on the edge, weren't we? It is on the edge of Niagara Falls. It's not, like, right in the middle by, you know, the Wax Museum or anything. It's right on the edge. And yeah, you quite like that area. So
I did. There was some cool little, like, dinery, like, just a little bit kind of older, little more ghetto looking places, but not shady or dodgy, just like,
not by day anyway.
Correct. Who knows
in the evening
what goes on in the evening. I would recommend this ice cream shop, though.
Yeah.
I would. It was super speedy, reasonably priced, a little bit rushed on the build, I'm not gonna lie, but
nevertheless, it was our first outdoor cone of the season.
It truly was of the season.
So there you
go. Of 2024.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm jonesing.
Okay, well, just one more thing to say.
Get lost!